Hört ihr mich? Ja, okay,
gut. Can you hear me?
Lobe den Herrn für alle
Geschwister. Everybody can hear me? Praise the Lord for all the saints who have come here, who have come filled in spirit already.
Sehr gefreut, dass manche schon so gefüllt sind und
I was so happy that so many came here filled and full of joy that can praise the Lord for what he wants to show us in this time.
Nur im Glauben hergekommen, aber der Herr wird uns alle mehr zeigen können, ja, dass wir
we have come here in faith and the Lord will be able to show us more. And those who have not been here for so long time, we trust the Lord that he will give us his word and give us his light. He who has come for the first time may not understand so much here and all the terminology that we are using, but actually this is not important. The important thing is that we may touch what the Lord is speaking to us. We have come here as mortal, limited beings, and our comprehension is quite limited, but the Lord can do over all measure and can show us what he wants to obtain. This main title here, I read it before. The outline was distributed already to all those who registered online. And the first word is Christ, praise the Lord. And the last word here in the title is the church. And this touched me very much. The last years, or let's say last 1.5 years, Christ, we have got the title, this topic of Christ and the church, first in Ephesians, in the epistle to the Ephesians, then in the epistle to the Philippians, and then now the Colossians. And it's wonderful how the Lord ordered, put into order these, into which order the Lord put these epistles. I took note of when we started in winter 22, made alive for the dwelling place of God in spirit. There we were talking about God's dwelling place. God has a goal in what he's doing with us. Namely, that's not only making us alive, but also building us up unto a dwelling place of God in spirit. Then Spring Conference 23, that was Ephesians again, God's masterpiece, the building up of the body of Christ. It's, there is a house, there is a body. And those who went to the summer conference in 23 got to know Ephesians 5 and 6. There we talked about the bride of Christ. And it is wonderful what the Lord is intending with his church. And this should be something that is burning in us because it's important to God. We all have come with some expectation here to get out of our daily lives and see the Lord again, that he may center, focus our life back on him. But he also has this desire that through this turn to him, something of his glory can be expressed in the church. And the last conference, 3 months ago, more or less, that was about the epistle to the Philippians, to gain Christ and to be perfected in one. And this is so good This came out of the epistle to the Philippians. On the one hand, Christ, gain Christ. We have to gain Christ. This is essential and necessary. But the objective is that we are perfected in one. And this came out quite clearly in the epistle to the Philippians. How the Lord wants to obtain this oneness.
Diese Einheit ist herrlich für ihn. Ja. Hat uns
and
die
this
Herrlichkeit gegeben, damit er
oneness is glorious to him. He gave us this glory that we may be one. There is nothing more beauteous than if the church is really one. This is his objective. He gave himself for that in order to bring his people together in oneness. This is the center. I hope that this will come out more during these days. I can just make a little start tonight. But I hope that this will be our desire that, Lord, gain your expression among us. And this is more than just being nice and being without argument, not striving, quarreling. This also is part of the expression. But the important thing is that everybody, every member has such a connection with the head. And this brings us to Colossians already, because Colossians speaks about Christ as the head. And we don't read those verses now about 16:1-16-18. This is what is printed under the title. This will be the topic of tomorrow. But the important thing is that we come to Christ and that we touch him, not just as a purpose in itself. He must be practically the head of his body. He is the head, but only when we have this life relationship with him.
Und jetzt haben wir heute diese Verse 1 bis 14 gelesen.
Now we have read these verses in chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. And in my outline, I made three main points out of that, out of these verses.
Die Überschrift heißt, das Reich versetzt in das Reich des Sohnes seiner Liebe.
And the title of my message today is Conveyed into the Kingdom of the Son of His Love. Actually, this was the last point of my outline, my message. Then it got into the center and now it's at the beginning. If I don't touch the other two points, then I got prepared in vain. That's a small suffering for me. But the decisive thing, the essential thing is that God, what God wants to express tonight. And then I will come to some practical points. But the important thing is that we talk about the kingdom of the Son of His love.
Das ist schon ein sehr besonderer Ausdruck.
This is really a special term, the kingdom of the Son of His love. We all know that the Lord loves us. I hope that everybody who has come here has accepted the Lord and seen that He loves Him. And when we have accepted that, received that, then we already got regenerated into this kingdom. But why is it a kingdom of love? Because the Son Himself, who loves us, His love would just be like a human love if he had not been himself the beloved one of the Father. We need to know that. He is the first one who was really loved by the Father and called the beloved Son. And that's also how the relationship with him starts, that he can love us because he was loved by the Father. And therefore, in addition to the verses in Colossians, I added this verse in 2 Peter, which we have read also. It's a verse that for 2 years, it hasn't been quite clear to me, actually. Why does Peter write it this way, where he actually wants to say to the believers, you did not follow any fables or strange stories, but we saw ourselves. I would have liked to tell, I would have told what was told in Acts. I saw the resurrected Christ and I went to the grave and then I met the resurrected one, he who conquered the grave. And then, but at this point, he remembered one incident that took place before. Like he went with two other disciples, like James and John, to the mountain, and there he heard the voice, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am taking all my pleasure." At this moment, this was a very important thing to us, and I hope that this will be something important to us tonight. He is the beloved Son, and we are focused on him. And when we have him as this beloved Son, then we've got a good starting capital for the church life. It's really something surprising what happened there on the mountain. Twice the Lord God called his Son, his beloved Son. The first time was at his baptism. I gave you this verse. That's in point B. First, the Son of his love. Number one. In Matthew 3:17, you have this incident where the Lord got baptized by John the Baptist, and then came this voice out of heaven, "This is my beloved Son in whom I take all my pleasure." As a 30-year-old man, the Lord put off all his own desires and wishes and got baptized. And he started out his service, his ministry. A man living for 30 years without sin, now he consciously consecrates himself to the Father, and then this voice comes, "This is my beloved Son." Let us appreciate that. The Lord also loves us. But today we want to focus our view on the Son of his love. And then he's serving, he's healing people, teaching people, and he gathered the disciples around himself. And then in Matthew 16, he comes all to the way to the north, to Caesarea Philippi, and Peter has this revelation first, "You are the Christ." And the Lord said then to Peter, I want to build my church with you. So Christ and the church, they all always belong together. No, I hope that when we taste more of the Lord during these days, then this would have the result that it's also about the church. Yeah, let's stick with that. Then in chapter 17, Matthew 17, verse 1, and after 6 days, Jesus takes with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and brings them up into a high mountain apart. And then it says, and he was transfigured before them, and his face shone as the sun, and his garments became white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah were seen by them conversing with him. So there were six people there on that mountain. Jesus, the disciples, Peter, James, and John, and then there were Moses and Elijah in that order, that sequence, right? Those six were gathered together there, were present there, and they were talking. And strictly speaking, it was just Jesus, Moses, and Elijah were talking. The disciples were just standing with open mouths. It was really something strange to them. But that was actually nothing, at least I see it this way. They should not have made a great performance out of that. But it was an important topic. I took down the verse.
Luke 9:31.
There, in some more detail, it is described what happened. They were speaking of his exodus, which he was about to complete in Jerusalem. So this was an important meeting, you can say. There are many complaints about that, and I also have that experience. There are too many meetings where you ask yourself, why do I have to sit here? Fortunately, I'm quite free in my work. I just need to attend the meetings that are really important to me. But then, even then, you talk a lot, and at the end, there is no real result. But here, there was a clear result, right? And the result was that it was talked about what the Lord had to do in Jerusalem, how he had to go there, how he would be captured, caught. He was tested for 6 days, then he was caught, then he was beaten up and then slain, crucified, and then risen on the third day. And why were Moses and Elijah there? Because with this exodus in Jerusalem, something completely new was introduced. The old covenant was terminated and a new covenant was introduced. And who did God conclude the first covenant that was with Moses and his people? On the human side, that was Moses. That was Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 5:2-5. There it's shown how how God on the Mount of Sinai, on the peninsula of Sinai, concluded that old covenant. And then 1 Kings, in 1 Kings 19:10, there was Elijah. In my Luther translation, it says, Elijah said,
1 Kings 19:10.
So he said, I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with a sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. So the people forsook the Lord, and Elijah was zealous. So he was the first prophet that when the people left the Lord, he was the first one to be zealous for the Lord. Afterwards, some more prophets followed. Jeremiah, for example, also was quite zealous and suffered a lot for the Lord's sake. So there was Moses that concluded the covenant, and then there was a prophet that was zealous for that covenant. And then this old covenant should be terminated and finished with, with any transitional regulation. In my work, they also say some acquired facts, old traditional things, that it was just, in this meeting, it was just decided, finished. The old covenant is no longer valid. And then Moses and Elijah were still there. I don't know then how it developed exactly, but the Lord wanted to express clearly that something new would be introduced. And the result was Jesus Christ, my beloved Son. He said, Amen, I will do it. I will go to Jerusalem. I will go this way. And then you also see here from that point on a certain turn in the Gospels. There it was not only a matter of healing, doing miracles, and pronouncing and announcing the Gospel, but here the thing was to reach that goal that Christ died, resurrected, and to say it with today's title, to become the head of the church, of his body, the church. And because the Lord wanted to take this step, he said at this point, this is my beloved Son. So he was beloved from the eternity past. He was the beloved Son. But at this moment, he was obedient to the Father and took this step and said, oh, well, I did everything fine, but this not, no, this is too much. We try it a little bit with the old covenant, and I will help the disciples that they may do a better job in keeping the old commandments. No, it was stopped and terminated. And it was his destiny also to do that. And with this Christ, Colossians starts out, he is the Son of his love. In German, in this verse, Colossians 1:14 now. I go back to Colossians, verse 13:14, in which we have the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption. Some translations have here a colon or a semicolon. Here it only starts what this Christ is. It says here He's the image of the invisible God. But what I want to say here is that it starts out with the Son of His love, this beloved Son who was so obedient, who took this step of obedience, and therefore He was called as the beloved of the Father. And we should appreciate Him. Really.
Dieser Sohn der Liebe.
This Son
es ist ein Reich,
of His love.
Nicht nur ein Sohn der Liebe, sondern
and it's His kingdom. It's not only the Son of His love, but this Son has a kingdom. And we were born into this kingdom, as I mentioned already, right? Those who would like to read it in John 3... 3 and 5. Now we have come into this kingdom.
In diesem Reich können wir Anteil haben.
And in this kingdom we can share, we can take part. This is verse 12. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you for a share of the portion of the saints in the light. In verse 13, who delivered us out of the authority of darkness. This was necessary. A salvation out of the power of darkness was necessary. Sometimes the world doesn't seem to be so dark to us, but whenever we are separated from God, then there is darkness. And He saved us out of this darkness. And He transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So we were saved out of a dark kingdom, and at the same time our sins were forgiven and we were redeemed. Actually, I'd like to talk more about that. Forgiveness of sins. He forgave us. In Him, we can also forgive. These are all things that are important in our Christian life. And I hope that we'll still get there, get to these points, to these details that are also important. In Him, we were forgiven, and in Him, we can also forgive others. Don't try to forgive with your own strength. I just say try, but turn to the Lord in doing so. Don't say, well, the Lord must do it. You do it. You try, but with the Lord. In this way, we can participate. Well, let me go back one thought. When I emphasized before that the old covenant was completely finished and terminated and concluded, this is a topic in Colossians, Philippians, Ephesians, and also especially Galatians, that there is always this, has always been this trend to bring something old back. something the old, traditional, and proven, well-proven, trustworthy law to get it back. The old man always has an affinity to keep the law. And Paul says this law is good and useful, but in another verse, we see the result that the flesh comes out when we mix that seemingly good old things, well-proven things, we want to replace Christ with it. Nothing should replace Christ. Not even good things should replace Christ. Some are here who may say the good things we can keep them. It says in the Bible, test everything and the good things keep. But we have had the experience that if the good things are not Christ, they will lead us away. They will sever us from Christ. And this is the important thing, because everybody has his own idea of what is good, right? And you say, you have to see that this is good, but I don't see it. I see something else that is good. And then there is quarrel, but therefore we have to focus on Christ, our head. But Christ, he is the good one. He is the head. When we question that, then the church life gets difficult. But then there are still brothers and sisters there who bring us back in love to the head. This is what I wanted to say. But then we share. He has qualified us for a share of the portion of the saints in the light. I always, in German, it's quite a word of luck, of good luck, or casting lots, or lottery, or things like that. If you have premises that is subdivided into different lots, then this is a lot, actually. This is what it says in German. Or you can also say inheritance. That was also the case when the people of Israel entered into the good land. Then these portions of land were allotted. Lots were given. It was not just assigned, you get this and you this and that, but there was a certain initiative from the people of Israel needed to be there. And Christ has to be grasped as our lot, and this requires initiative from our part. And there were 12 tribes, and 2 tribes they wanted to have their share even before crossing the River Jordan, before entering into the good land. They were so zealous, but Moses said, okay, you get it. Just under one condition, in the past weeks, I read those books of Deuteronomy and Joshua. It fitted quite well, the Lord knows, when he speaks what to us, in which time. So 2.5 tribes were eager and could not wait. So they got these lots east of the Jordan River under one condition: they should help their brothers to conquer the land of the other side of the Jordan. This is a nice image, a nice type of the church life. Some are so zealous and want to take everything, conquer everything, but the Lord tells them, you help your brothers as well. We all should get over the Jordan into the good land. And then there are 2.5 other 2.5 tribes those, when they crossed the Jordan, they took their lots. That was the tribe of Judah and the tribe of Ephraim, and then the half the tribe of Manasseh. And then we have got these verses on our outline, Joshua 18, 2 to 6. Joshua 18, 2 to 6. Does someone want to read it, no matter which translation you use? Joshua 18, 2 to 6. Can someone read it for us, please?
Sieben Stämme übrig.
But there remained among the children of Israel 7 tribes which had not yet received their inheritance. Then Joshua said to the children of Israel, "How long will you neglect to go and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers has given you?" Pick out from among you 3 men for each tribe, and I will send them. They shall rise and go through the land, survey it according to their inheritance, and come back to me. And they shall divide it into 7 parts. Judah shall remain in their territory on the south, and the house of Joseph shall remain in their territory on the north. You shall therefore survey the land in 7 parts and bring the survey here to me, that I may cast lots for you here before the Lord our God. So these 7 tribes needed an extra invitation. But the Lord is gracious. He always and again gives us an extra invitation as well, if we need it. To conquer this land and this Christ. We are talking here about Christ as our lot, right? As our share. He is the good land. And we should conquer him.
And
they should rise up, go through the land, write down everything and see what happens in that land. And then the Lord can assign the land that we need to know the Lord in the Word, and therefore we have come here together in the conference not to have a big head later when we leave, know so much by heart, can know so many points about Christ. It is good if someone has this purpose and intention. Before, when I was young, I also did that. And it helps to have a taste of the Word. It's better than small children learning by heart many other things. It's good to know what is written in the Word about Christ. Write it down, but then also conquer it, receive it, and make it your own. It is a land that we were allotted, in which we can live, and in which we can go on together as the church. I think I have 10 minutes left to speak. Let me make it a bit more practical. There was this church in Colossae to which this epistle was sent. Actually, we don't know very much about this church. Last conference, we spoke a lot about the church in Philippi, how the gospel came there, how people came to believe in the Lord Jesus, how Paul suffered, so that this gospel could go to Philippi, and from Ephesus we also know things. We know that Paul lived there for 3 years, admonishing them day and night, and then there was an uproar, an upheaval, and how they confessed their sins and so on. I don't want to enter into details here, but from Colossae we don't know a lot. We just know in Colossians 1:2, this term is mentioned, this name is mentioned. But you can derive things, conclude from the context certain things. Like Archippus in Colossians 4:17, it is Archippus mentioned, and also in the epistle to Philemon, Archippus is mentioned, which shows that Archippus was probably an elder in the church in Colossae, and they were meeting in his house. Maybe it was not a big church, but it was a church. And what I liked here about that was not the big apostle Paul, but it was Epaphras who brought the gospel to Colossae, to this city. In Colossians 1:7, it says, as you learned from Epaphras, our beloved fellow slave, who is a minister of Christ, faithful for you. And in Colossians 2:1, it says, for I want you to know how great a struggle I have on your behalf, and for those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. This points out that they did not know Paul by face. They just knew some of the co-workers of Paul, like Epaphras, for example. So they learned that. And what Epaphras brought back to Paul was that there are believers who received the faith in the Lord Jesus, and spontaneously they had love towards all the saints in spirit. It touched me. No matter how the gospel and by whom it is preached, it works. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and love towards all the saints. This should be something normal. And here I also have to exhort myself again and again and remind myself when I come together with Christians, no matter whether here with you or in Tübingen where I live, I see them several times a week. Brother Dieter, I have been knowing him for more than 43 years. We come together several times a week for 43 years now. Praise the Lord. It's someone who has believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and who has love towards all the saints. This is so wonderful. I appreciate that. It's so normal. Or also when I get to know someone on my work, someone who's a Christian, also he has received the Lord. This is wonderful. It's a basis for fellowship. But unfortunately, and you see that in Colossians, that there are so many add-ons. It's called in the programming language. And these add-ons may be useful in practical life, but when we speak about Christ, it's a malware. They bring in viruses and it destroys everything. And it leads to the fact that when you come together with Christians, I have to confess that this is my flesh. Maybe it's only my problem and not yours, but that there is a certain rejection, attitude of rejection. Oh, be careful. We should be careful. Yes, we shouldn't be naive. We shouldn't embrace everything. whatever comes from a Christian. Because there are also warnings, clear warnings, we should avoid such things, and that people have become more terrible, worse than unbelievers. I want to exercise myself to say about a Christian, he is a brother in Christ. And it is good to proclaim that if we really practice that, especially towards the saints we know so well, and we think sometimes, oh, again, this one, this message is exactly for him. Good that he can hear it. We are often like that, right? Hearing messages for others. But the Lord knows how he can correct us. And we turn our view on Jesus, not on the difficulties. And this, the basis is faith and love, which I appreciate very much. So Paul heard from Epaphras that there are some believers. And then Epaphras said, may also have said, there are also some people who want to bring in other things. They insist on worshipping angels. Or they chastise their bodies. And Paul didn't say, oh, well, it's not my business. Epaphras, you see what you do with that problem. No, he took up that burden. And this is really an expression of the body that he had seen. Now they need me. Because I was sent, he says in Colossians 1, Colossians 1:25, to complete the word of God, not only to complete the teachings, but also to bring the full share to the saints into their full share. Epaphras started out a good beginning, and he's continuing to intercede for them and struggling for them in prayers in chapter 4, verse 12. You can see that. But Paul picks this up and has this concern himself. Often we are too much focused on ourselves. It's good. I know that we've got our appreciated and protected environment in the church where we know the saints, and we exercise to help each other and to dispense Christ to each other. But at the same time, it's not just a matter of having a nice church life in your locality, but actually it's a matter of Christ gaining his glorious bride. Therefore, it is good to have this conference, to see so many saints, and to say, like Paul in Colossians 1:9, this is point C of my outline. Therefore, we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease praying and asking on your behalf, that you may be filled with the full knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. So he's fighting for that. To walk worthily of the Lord unto all pleasing. Here, it's the well pleasing is important. This, what was the first well pleasing in our church life, in our Christian life? About 2 weeks ago, we visited the church in Egenhaus in Black Forest. We had a gospel meeting there. And there we talked about Luke 15.
Lukas 15, Vers 7, da heißt es,
Luke 15, 7, there it says, I tell you, there will be joy in heaven more about one sinner who repents than about 99 righteous ones who don't need repentance. So when we repent, then there is well-pleasing in us, but also well-pleasing in the heavens. That's how our Christian life started, right? But unfortunately, we then continue and pray only for our own good pleasure. But my good pleasure is only the good pleasure of the Father. When he urged me, and in obedience I said, Amen. Then his good pleasure and mine come together and coincide. Because the real good pleasure of the Father is just this, the Lord Jesus himself. But when I turn to the Lord, he is the Son of his good pleasure. We read it, this is my beloved Son in whom I delight. He not only did things correctly, but he did them unto the delight of the Father, and the Father was pleased with him. So the Father is pleased when we do things in him, but for that we need spiritual understanding and spiritual wisdom. I don't know why it is in this sequence, first the comprehension, the knowledge. I need to understand the things of God, the Word, how it is, what is its significance. Sometimes I read it and I don't understand anything, and then the Lord speaks about it in the meeting, and then I understand. And we need understanding in these days, but then wisdom comes. Maybe I'm wrong, then please correct me. But we have to apply it in the situation. It has got to do a lot with obedience. If I'm not obedient, and then I may understand things, the things of God, but it has no effect in my life. The Lord had understanding, but he also had the wisdom. He did everything according to the scripture, but he did it always in the right time. He had the right word at the right time. And therefore, we need wisdom. But first of all, we need to understand by coming to the Word, by having fellowship about it, by praying about it. Amen. And in all these things, we need the Lord to do that. Amen. Yes, Lord, we praise you. We ask you to continue to speak during these days. Lord, what you have started, you may complete it, Lord. Bring on the churches during these days, Lord. It is good for us to continue to have fellowship. 9 o'clock. It is 9 o'clock, and it was a traveling day. Many of you may be tired. Maybe we can have some more testimonies, some more prayers, that we can confirm what the Lord has spoken to us in the verses. It's too precious to just... that we just bring our own things. I know it's difficult. I also don't sometimes know, shall I say it, shall I not say it? But it's good to meditate on that and to obey, to be obedient to the Lord and speak when he